the book of Ezekiel in chapter 10. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 10. I want to read, to start with this evening, verse 13. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. Did you catch that? As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. This, of course, this point and these verses and the theme of this chapter is going to be, especially in relations to the living creatures and the wheels, the providence of God, as it was in the first chapter. The first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, remember, was Ezekiel's visions of God. And that vision, however mysterious it may seem to you and I, was a vision of God, and vision of particularly his providence to the four corners of the world, of heaven and earth, to all of his creation. He's created it all, and his providence is continually at work in it all, as we saw last week by the fact that these wheels were always turning, always moving, constantly. Tonight, as we think about these wheels and the fact that he cried to them, O wheel, we want to consider the agreement and uniformity in their employment of providence. The employment of providence, as we've said, comes from God. He takes care of it all. He sustains it. He upholds it. Amen. We're told he upholds it by the word of his power. That's a mighty power. Amen. But as we consider this providence and his, shall we say, his employees in it, or his servants in the act of providence, there is agreement between them all and uniformity. This verse 13, and this cry to them, oh, the wheels. And the cry to them, O wheel, they were to set themselves in motion. It was a call to motion. You might say, well, how could it be called a motion if they were already in motion, always moving? Always carrying out the providence of God and his ministration of it. But we would, could say that this was a call to motion. And the word wheel here, wheel and wheels, same Hebrew word, it means to whirl. Like a whirlwind. So the call to whirl He said, wheels, whirl, or wheel. The wheel, though they moved east to west, north to south, they all went as one. If you remember our studies in chapter 1 and in verse 17, and I think we've read it a couple times since being in this 10th chapter. It says, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. They went as one. And so it says, a wheel. You see, the first, in verse 13, the first wheels is plural. And we visualize it as we visualized this vision that Ezekiel had and the picture of these wheels, it seems as though there were several wheels. We would say there was at least four, and there were at least double wheels, and probably more than that, and more than that when you get down to it. But at the end of the verse, he said, "O wheel, singular." They were, it signifies there was agreement between them all, and there was uniformity. What do we mean by uniformity? Well, we mean unity in portraying likeness. That is uniformity. Unity in portraying likeness. Well, likeness of whom? Who was in charge? Who was administrating this vision to Ezekiel? Whose servants were these living creatures and these wheels? They were God's. So, They were in agreement in the work that they were to do, and they were in uniformity. They were all in unity, portraying the likeness of God, the glory of God. Remember in the first chapter, before closing out that first chapter, is the glory of God seated on the throne. They were operating as one. We picture several. They were operating as one. That is, they were carrying out the purpose of one. Amen. They were guided by one Spirit. And they were guided by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to one end. And that was fulfilling the purpose of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Fulfilling the purpose of God, the plan and desires of God. God worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We're told in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. In verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things, after the counsel of His own will. Praise God. To the unsaved out there, and to the world at large out there, they don't like the thought that God is working those things according to His counsel, according to His purpose.
They say, surely a God of love would not do this, would not allow this.
But they need to turn and open their Bibles and read it and see the God of the Bible. And he's working those things for his own purpose, which were determined in the council halls of eternity before the foundation of the world. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 46. Look with me here at verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, yeah, time, eternity, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. He will do it all. You see, what we, you and I, sometimes fail to realize and forget, and what the world at large fails to see and definitely fails to see and realize, is what he said in Psalms chapter 76 in verse 10, when he said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. That tells me all the wickedness, all the evil of man is going to praise God. It is going to be for his purpose, for his end, to bring to pass the counsels, his counsels.
Amen.
Which were determined when? Before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You see. And if it will not bring that to pass, if it will not please him, praise him, then he restrains it. He doesn't allow it to even get off the ground, we would say. Praise God.
Amen.
I can't explain that beyond that. I believe it.
Amen.
I can't understand how the wicked acts of men out here and everything that's going on in this world today, how that it can bring praise and glory to God. But he said it would.
Amen.
Otherwise, he'd restrain it. Because he's not restraining it, it's bringing to pass his purpose.
Amen.
You see. Which, as we've already mentioned, is for his glory.
Yes.
Am I concerned about his glory tonight? Are you concerned about his glory tonight? And I'm not just talking about in your mind when you think about God. I'm talking about in your life, in my life. Am I concerned about his glory? Am I showing forth the glory of God? As these living creatures and these wheels did. They responded, they acted his every command. All of God's creation out there responds and acts at God's command, we would say, but except for maybe man. And we have the edict from God's word that man goes after his own desires and his own pleasures. But God allows it only as it brings about his purpose, you see. Again, I don't understand all that. If you do, you can fill me in. And this makes the disposal of providence truly admirable, doesn't it?
Yes.
When we think about that and God's providence, doesn't that make it admirable? Everything that's going on in the world today and God's providence and everything is aggravating as some of the things that are going on in the world, that most things in the world today are, because God is behind it. God's in control.
Amen.
And anything that he doesn't want, he restrains.
Yes.
That makes it admirable.
Oh, yes.
I got to stand back and wonder in admiration of my great God.
Yes.
And I stand back in wonder and amazement and admiration of my great Savior, Jesus Christ. And why he would save a wretch like me. Oh, wicked, self-born that he was and is. And yet, he manifested his love to me. Jesus Christ, before I cared anything about him, shed his blood so that I could have everlasting life. Wow, that just, I don't get over it. I don't want to ever get over it. I just wished I could be a more faithful servant.
Amen.
To him. You see, as the works of his creation, considered separately, were good, but altogether, they were, what did he say, very good. Very good. So the wheels of providence, considered by themselves, are wonderful. And the description of them, a wheel within a wheel, and this spoke is uppermost, but never the same spoke uppermost. And just wonderful, magnificent. And flame of fire going, moving up and down in the midst of those living creatures. The four faces.
Amen.
Depicted there. Aren't they wonderful? Oh yeah, until we understood in the first chapter, it seemed like maybe we were reading a sci-fi out of Hollywood or something, you know? But when God start giving us some light, these things begin to come together.
Amen.
What a glorious and wonderful sight it is.
Amen.
But put those wheels, put those living creatures together. And they're very wonderful, are they not?
Yes.
Oh, wheel. Oh, wheel. Not many. Yes, many, but functioning as one. And turn with me to Psalms 119. You can just imagine where my mind has gone with that thought. Many, many different living creatures and wheels, but functioning as one. And well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll just say this. But that's the way you and I, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are to function. Many members, but as one.
Yes.
We're one. We're one. We're the body of Christ.
Amen.
All different members. One body. The body of Christ. Psalms 119 and verse 89. Psalms 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Pay attention to that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Notice the next one. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. What about his faithfulness?
Always.
How long is God faithful? Always. Eternal.
Amen.
Forever. He is faithful. Thou hast established the earth.
Yes.
And it abideth. How long is the earth? Forever. forever.
They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. His word, his faithfulness, and the earth, they abideth ever. And they're faithful. All those are faithful. His word is faithful. As he is faithful. He is faithful. The earth abideth faithfully.
You see, all those are his servants. You see,
turn with me to Psalms 104 now. Maybe just changing thought just a little bit, but I trust not too much. Psalms 104. And look at verse 14 as we consider the acts of providence to all creatures, to all the earth. In verse 14 of 104th chapter, we read, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle. You got that? For the beast. He causeth the grass to grow. Why does he cause the grass to grow? For the beast, for the cattle, and herb for the service of man. I'm glad he gives me oranges and grapefruit and herbs. I like herbs. I like tomatoes, peppers. I like all those spices and everything that you put in some of those dishes and everything. That he may bring forth food out of the earth. He brings forth food out of the earth to feed all of his creation.
Amen.
Take care of it all. Whatever the fishes of the sea need, whatever the fowls of the air need, whatever the beasts of the earth need, he feeds them all.
Amen.
Look at verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God.
Amen.
From God. Oh, that poor little deer. Did you see what that lion did?
God feeding that lion.
Just as he fed that deer. But he prepared that deer for that lion. You see?
Man out there doesn't want to believe that. Doesn't want to think that. You see?
Continue reading verse 22. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. That is the young lions. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening.
Who provided that? God provided the work, but God provided man with the health and the strength and the ability to labor to do it.
Amen.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, that sea monster, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. See, they depend upon God for their meat. And I've heard some men say, and some people say to me,
And I've heard him say to others, I ain't bowing my head to pray for that. I worked hard for it. God didn't have anything to do with it. Well, he sure did.
Amen.
He prepared the food for you. He gave you the job to work. He gave you the health to work.
Yes.
See, God had everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. You take God out of the equation, where's your food? Where's your health? Where's your strength? Where's the air that you breathe? Where's your existence?
Right.
That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? I mean, he fills you. He fills it. You open your hand, he fills it. Wow. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust. The providence of God, isn't it magnificent? Isn't it wonderful? So look what he says in the 47th Psalm. The 47th Psalm in verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God is King of all the earth. Let that sink in.
Amen.
Let that sink in as we turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. That verse we just read in Psalms 47:7 just told us that God is sovereign over all the earth. So he can do what we read in verse 1 of chapter 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will, just as he turns the rivers of waters and causes them to overflow their banks and causes them to dry up. He's in charge. And he turns the king's heart the same way. He makes it plentiful and he makes it dry up. You see, he sets up one king, tears down another. He does that with the nations as well. Turn with me to the book of Job in chapter 12. The book of Job in chapter 12. In verse 23. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. That is, he sets up one nation and he takes that same nation down if it pleases him. Did you get that? He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. As we view the world history, what you know of world history, hasn't he done that?
Yes.
Over and over again.
Amen.
He's done that. So, considering God's providence, considering the living creatures and the wheels, and he said, oh, wheel. God's providence works in agreement and in uniformity, portraying the glory of God, portraying God, his likeness, his image. What's that tell us? They all do their work in agreement
and uniformity with Him. What's that tell us?
God delights in unity. God delights in one. That is His nature. That's who He is. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4, He told Israel, and he told Israel at Mount Sinai, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one Jehovah, one God. Not many, not three, one." Mark, the book of Mark in chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 references the Old Testament, references Deuteronomy 6, which is a reference of Exodus chapter 20. But Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, we read this. "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one Jehovah, one Master. The first of all commandments is the Lord is one." One. He delights in one. He delights in oneness. He delights in unity. Look at Psalms chapter 133. Psalms 133 in verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell together as one. God delights in that. Those who name the name of Christ, we ought to be one. Turn with me back to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 11. Pay attention to this now. If any man speak, this is saved men. Saved men. This is who this letter of Peter's is to. Saved. It's not to the unsaved, not to the lost, but this is to saved folks. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Being in agreement and one with God. The oracles of God. "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." Let him do it as one with God, magnifying God, the image of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. We're to be followers of God. We're to be, that word follower
it's not like Jesus said to the apostles, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. This follows imitate. Be an imitator of God as dear children.
We're to be as one. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The one. Be one with God. If any man minister, let him do it as God. Unto God. Everything that we do as a child of God ought to be for His honor and for His glory, to shine forth and show forth the image of God. The image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Lord and Savior.
Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. There's no praise due unto me. I'm nothing. You're nothing. We're nothing but servants of His. We're for His honor and for His glory. We're to show forth His image, His glory.
Amen.
You see, God delights in unity, and that's manifested in all of His creation, all of His providence, till He come to man. The animals, the birds, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, it all follows His providence and His direction. But man wants to go his own way, do his own thing, wants to rebel against his Creator and Maker. He's our Sovereign. He's our Lord. And He's my Savior. And I want to do that which pleases Him. I want to do that which honors and glorifies Him. Shall we have a word of prayer?